it's the Mike Tech Show, show number 710. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show for your free 15-day trial. You can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. Great show lined up. Just three emails that I'm going to read their questions. The first one by Kevin, who I met at TechCon Unplugged, asks a very simple question that's going to take half the show to answer, which is, how did I make the transition from full-time corporate to self-employed? And I think I've shared that over the course of years a little bit, but I'm going to be more concise tonight and go right from the beginning to the end. So, or at least to current. And that's just one email question. The next one is about a recovery website and then certificate managers and then deploying Windows 10 image and the best options to do that. And then I have a question from a client where I need some help. Let's begin with question one. I have a quick question for you. You speak a lot about your years in the corporate world. I am curious to hear the story. Maybe this is in a past episode that you can direct me to on how you made the transition from full-time work in the corporate world to working for yourself at MHS Consulting. I'd like to know if you kept your company under wraps while you were in the corporate world. What was the process like starting your own company, and how did you make the leap when you decided to go full-time, okay, your own? When did you know it was the right time? Well, that was easy. My hand was forced, and I'll explain that. He continues to go all in on MHS Consulting. I will also submit this to the Tech Vet's email, as I'd like to hear his story as well. And, you know, Carrie and I have covered that a bit over Tech Vets. I'm going to begin. In 2000, I needed some supplemental income. And I would say extra money that I could spend on hardware, software, just better entertainment. It was just extra money. And I started doing work part-time after hours and on weekends, really supporting financial advisors, because there was a large group of financial advisors halfway between where I was working and home on my drive home from work. So given that, I happened to get accidentally from a real interesting coincidence where I was helping a friend who was sort of in the business, but was trying to get out of doing the day-to-day support and help, and really begged me to help a client who was a financial advisor who was trying to remote into the corporate office via the VPN. And he couldn't do it. He spent a lot of money on consultants. I went there and I solved his problem in 15 minutes. And what that did was so grateful, he unleashed a flood of referrals from other financial advisors. And I explained I had a full-time job. And they said, that's great. So when it started kicking off, I realized I had to have invoices and I had to, you know, formally set things up so I could get the proper tax deductions for the home office. So I created MHS Consulting. And at the time, the .com was not available. So I grabbed MHSconsulting.net. And MHS, they're my initials. Michael Henry Smith, that's my name. At the time, senior IT management at the corporate job I was at, I let them know what I was doing on the sides. And I also promised that my management job at the company would never suffer, that my corporate job was number one. Everything else was secondary. Now, I will say this. There was a project for merging two law firms together that I burned a week's vacation, or at least half a week vacation, and worked during the day in order to make that migration happen. And I, because I was making a lot of money at that. So life is good. Things were going good. So let's fast forward to 2008. And some of you who've been listening, I actually had to take down shows from this because I actually talked about what happened. And a vice president in the company didn't like what he heard on my show. And here's what happened. I got laid off in the beginning of October of 2008. And I was given a very good package. So nice severance, my bonus, the whole nine yards. Couldn't complain. I mean, I was upset. It's been long enough. I think I'm going to talk about this. So I was at this company for 12 years, 10 of the most pleasant years that I've ever had. And then the final two, there was a new regime that came in that took over. And let's just say there was a meeting once where the IT director and the CIO was there and we're rolling out something. And I'm the one, the lone wolf who raised my hand and said, are we going to test this before we roll it out to 5,000 users? And I got death stares. So by me wanting to test and do things right, I was looked at as a roadblock. So I was unhappy. They were unhappy with me. So getting laid off to me was a blessing. It was the kick in the butt that forced me to go on my own. And let's just say the severance and everything that were given me helped me launch MHS Consulting. So I was able to take my time and decide what I wanted to do. I already had clients, not a lot, but I made an assumption that I was going to be break fix. I would wait, the phone would ring all the time, and I would just start working and fixing things and making clients happy. Well, guess what? The phone doesn't ring all the time. And I'm not going to open up a storefront. I don't want a storefront. I want to do consulting for businesses. I want to help with their network. Because remember, I was the enterprise network manager for 12 years for a $3 billion company. I had a staff of engineers. I managed multiple data centers around the country. I had a lot of experience and still do. I mean, I have tremendous experience. In a past life, even before that, I worked for U.S. healthcare. That was before this past, my last corporate job. When I was U.S. healthcare, this was before Aetna bought them. At Aetna, I didn't like what happened with Aetna when they took over, but I was only at U.S. healthcare for 9 months. But one of the main reasons I was basically stolen from Smith Klein Beecham because the CIO wanted me at U.S. healthcare. And I got to launch as an early adopter a new Microsoft product called Microsoft Exchange Server. That's right. I was at the beginning. There are white papers with compact hardware, Exchange server, and release candidate of Exchange that I authored with Microsoft engineers who was developing the product still at the time and making improvements. I had a lot of fun, and I got to just chomp on Exchange server. And then something else happened. Microsoft literally flew in for just me and the CIO of US Healthcare to show us this new email client that they were going to be releasing that they wanted us to play with. And it was called Outlook. So I had great experience with email in the corporate world. I've took everything I learned in the corporate world and all of my procedures and practices and thought I could do all of my consulting with that. Here's the problem. Small businesses that need help do not have budgets like that. I had multi-million dollar budget that I controlled. They don't have that kind of money. They need simple help. As a matter of fact, I'll never forget having to manage and help with my first small business server. I took a look at small business server. I said, you got to be kidding me. What is this babying through you answering all the questions? I that's not how you set up a server. I actually paid Winston Wolf, who you've heard me talk about, who came down for a weekend and helped me migrate a client small business server. And I know I talked about that on that they were shows. Because remember, all along here, I'm also doing, from 2005 on, the Mike Tech Show. So a lot of my work on stories, that was material for the show. So now we're at 2008. I think I can make money with waiting for clients to call me. And guess what? Major problem. The phone wasn't ringing. And at the same time, I started doing a show called Tech Vets with Carrie Holzman. And Carrie and I would talk about what was going on in my life, what was going on with consulting. And he's the one who got me to think about retainer clients. So in 2009, and we'll say the summer, I was looking for clients that I could put on a retainer for regular repeating revenue. And I made that happen. I got one, a bigger financial advisor company that needed help. A second one was a law firm. The law firm is still my client. The other one is, but they don't use me anyway. You know, I kind of look like I lost them because they just don't want IT help. And they try to do it inside. And when they really screw things up and make a mess, that's when I'll get the call. And it's because they were there and they sort of sold the business. But I believe I owe the two owners who sold the business. They were so good to me for years that I owe them the company that bought them. Even though they don't use me, I will still respond when they call. And that's because of the two people that trusted me, and they were my first retainer client. So it's because of that history that I still support them. Because I know a lot of you are listening saying, well, if they dumped you and they don't want, you know, why would you still go help them when they have a mess? That's why. And I feel an allegiance to those two owners. So now I got my first retainers. Right after that, a huge consulting job that put me on site 30 hours a week, billing at my full rate, sometimes 40, to redesign the network infrastructure and rebuild the network team for the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia. I was there a year, nonstop, every week. And then slowly, you know, as I put everything in place, less hours. Now I haven't been down there in years, but I built the foundation and redid the infrastructure to where they don't need me and built the processes. And I look at that as a great consulting success story for myself. Then something interesting happened right after that. So now I'm like, well, where's my next big gig going to come from? And then it was an opportunity to join the networking group BNI, Business Networking International. And once I joined that, now the referrals started coming and I was able to build and then get more retainers and more regular business. Then it got to the point where I got so busy, it was either don't bring on any more clients or I better get help. So that's when I brought on my son. I brought on another tech. And then now it's just my son and I. And in order to grow, we have to automate. So that's why one of the biggest things coming out of TechCon Unplugged was my partnership with Freedom Voice, where literally today I closed another phone deal using Synchro as we continue to roll that out and I learn and have a good ticketing system and an RMM. Gotta have it. It was that or die. It was that or not grow. And I want to grow, but we have to automate what we're doing. So my son and I are doing that. And this is now helping me sustain, I believe, and build for the future the continuing of MHS Consulting. But I started part-time. And you got to put your foot in the water. So if you are thinking of doing this, then just do it. Start going after clients and tell them, hey, I can only work on nights and weekends. Now, there were lots of times I had to travel for my corporate job and I was not available. And that hurt me sometimes on gaining new business for my side job, but my corporate job always came first. And I had to learn to balance that. And it became very hard when you start taking vacations or now I got to travel, because I had to travel a couple times a year, you know, sometimes 3-4 times a year. I mean, it looked like almost every month or every other month I was doing some kind of traveling. And I enjoyed it, and it was great work, and I loved what I was doing. There are things that I miss about the corporate world, but I'll tell you one thing I don't miss. I work for myself. I report to no one except myself. If something goes wrong, I am to blame. It is why you only see me for the Mike Tech Show. It's me, only me. I don't have to rely on anybody else. I don't have to count on anybody else. I either can do it or I can't do it. I found that I have to be in complete control to be happy. And so this was a destiny that had to be, because I don't ever want to work for anybody else ever again. Now, you could say I work for my clients, yes, but I can pick and choose who I want, who I don't want. And there have been a couple opportunities that my son has watched me walk away from and disagreed with me, and I said no. I said this particular opportunity, this client would suck the life out of us and we would make less money. So I am not taking that opportunity. And my response to that client, I don't think we're a good fit. And I would go on from there. So I get to pick and choose what I want to do. I also, when I got stable enough to and confident enough, I fired some clients. That's not easy. You got clients that want to write you a check. But I had to look at my mental health and how I was feeling and my stress level. So there are clients that I had to get breakaway and get rid of. I need the control. But you also have to step up to the responsibility of doing that. So sometimes there's some long hours and long nights. You know, there are weeks that I would have much rather done the Mike Tech Show, but I had to work for a client and do the work. These are the things that have to come into play, and you get to learn whether you're right for this or not. Now, Kevin wanted to know, when do you make the big jump? You will know it's right, but there's a couple things you got to worry about. And I was very lucky. My wife still has a full-time job, and I am under her for my medical benefits. That makes a big difference. I now don't have to worry about medical benefits. I don't have to worry about the stress that comes along with that and making extra money. I was able to just jump in and start doing full-time consulting work. And it was hard to try to get clients on a regular retainer. That was not easy. That took months for me to be able to do that. But I had the opportunity of a nice severance package that I was able to live off of. And then when I wasn't working, you can collect unemployment when you're doing that. Severance does not impact unemployment. So all of the stars sort of aligned up and I took advantage of it. And that's my story on how I left the corporate world and entered consulting. It was a process, and I took the time to do the work to make it happen. But I'll tell you, one of the hardest things was sort of downgrading my support. And when I say this, I mean the technology that's needed. A lot of these small clients don't need VPNs. Man, I had Cisco hardware and all kinds of enterprise hardware that I got to cut my teeth on, and racks of blade servers and big data centers that I managed. And now, you know, I got a peer server and some workstations. So I had to finely tune my workstation skills. And I found that harder because I grew up, I was very lucky to grow up in the corporate world on servers and enterprise technologies. You heard the companies I worked for a long time ago, Wyeth Erst, Smith Kline Beecham, U.S. Healthcare. These were big companies. And then, as a lot of people are noticing, Mike, you're not saying the name of your last company. Yeah, I still don't. I guess I'm still gun shy from saying that. So, Kevin, for a very simple question, I hope I gave you the answer as I spent most of the show answering that question. Let's move on to some more email questions. And some of these, I need your help. So this is from Mika. I believe I'm pronouncing it right. Been listening for about 200 episodes. Been out of the trenches for a while as I have been working in enterprise, but love that your show keeps me grounded in what's new and happening. Cannot lose sight of that in this field. It moves too quickly. I completely agree with that. I did have two questions for you. One, a friend has a bad hard drive and has tried all recovery tools that you mentioned on your show. I looked through the show notes for what you have mentioned on recovery companies, but I cannot find them for the life of me. Who do you recommend? I already briefed the friend on high costs. He doesn't seem phased, so I assume it is some family photos or something. The company that you want, and this will be in the show notes, is 300-dollardatarecovery.com. $300-dollardatarecovery.com. I have used a couple times and they've come through. You fill out a form, you send your drive with the number that they give you, and you will be billed $300 if they recover the data. And if not, you don't pay. Can't lose. Have your friend try that. Question two. I don't have an immediate answer for this one. Any good certificate managers? Been dealing a lot lately with PKI environments, but when it comes to adding a certificate to external website, VPN, etc., I always just create the CSR from my own Win10 certificate store and export it out later. I noticed that Key Store Explorer and DigiCert has some options, but I just want a nice GUI that I can create a CSR that will automatically make a private key, then will let me add the cert to it and the upstream certs if I want, then export to any format I want. would also be nice if it had a spot for description, what company or department is this for, and a built-in notification feature to notify you of when certs will be expiring. A big thanks to all you do, and a big good luck to your business. Mika, thank you very much. I don't have a recommendation. The only certs I deal with mainly is our SSL certs, and I'll buy them for the client where their hosting is, and most of the time it's GoDaddy, and I'm getting a cert and adding it and helping them get the cert. Some of them like to do it themselves, you know, give me the advice. You know, they'll ask me for the advice on what to do for the SSL. I still haven't did that to my own websites where I'm not doing transactions, but I know now the push is, if you don't have an HTTPS, if you don't have an SSL certificate, then your website's not safe. And that's just not a true statement. Now, you got to have that if you're going to be doing any kind of transactions or dealing with information. I get it. You have to have it. But they're forcing every website for this now. For the search you need, I do not have a recommendation. We need some help here. Thanks for the email. Last email, and then I have a question. This is from Jonathan. I need to install Windows 10 on devices often, and I have several customizations I want to make, such as uninstalling Windows bloatware, installing programs, changing user settings, icon locations, start menu, etc. The computers will not reside in our company's network for long. They are part of our product. I would like to make the customizations to one computer and create an image of it. Then anytime I need a new computer, install Windows from that image. I have a process to apply an image, although it could be better. Install Windows by using a flash drive with the, and he has the standard Windows 10 installation media, a link on it. Then boot from the same flash drive and get a command prompt, Shift F10, I think, and run the following commands, and he has a list of commands. Then he has a comment. Gmail flags that as a virus if I don't make it a screenshot. Here are his questions. What process can I use to image an existing computer that that has my customizations? I'm going to have a few links for tonight. One, fogproject.org. Don't know if this is going to be the perfect solution for you, but I want you to look at it. It's based on CentOS or Debian. That's what they recommend. It's a Linux project that is a server that you can then just do a Pixie boot, which is a PXE boot, and it can grab the image. And you can even have different images. So you could build your image and store that on the local box, and every system that comes in, boom. Now, if you got a big client, you can put that. I have not rolled that out, but I've heard many good things from listeners in the past that have recommended it. And that Fog project, it's literally fogproject.org. If anybody's using that, and if anybody has something even better than that, let me know. But now I remember having a bunch of refurb systems, and they were all the same. And I built one image with a Cronus and then backed it up and then just started restoring it on every time I put a new SSD, and the other systems just restored the image. And I just had that networked image on my Synology drive and just started. So take a look at the different options of a Cronus. Here's another thing. Have a default install that Microsoft sets up and installs, then you don't have to worry about bloatware if you are controlling the image, because there's no bloatware installed. So I have a different solution for that. That means you're taking on an image from a system that they bought somewhere else that has bloatware. Well, take that default image, develop a PowerShell script that will do all of the customizations. That's what I want to do. And that's why I am trying to teach myself PowerShell. A, I want to help automate my synchro. B, I want to automate things like this where some of our upgrade and maintenance routines or our customizations, I can have different scripts for that. So that's another possibility. I would like your suggestions that I can share for Jonathan. Number two, how do I run SysPrep without wiping out my customizations to the user profile? Ideally, I could create new user profiles on the final computer that would have my customizations. I don't know SysPrep, so for that one, I need some help. And then this is number three. He has a link to an article that talks about the SIDs actually not needing to change, but recommends to run SysPrep for other reasons. He continues, we already have a Synology in case that comes in handy. We do not currently have any Windows server. So having the Synology, that's great. That's where you can store some images. But I would look at this Fog project and play with that and see if that helps you. And then look into the scripting and see if that works. I know something like the Fog project handles the SIDs, so you're not going to have to worry about that, or the licensing. Now, something I have not tried. Can you do an Acronis image and restore it to different hardware, and it would just take effect and load the new drivers on its first boot? Don't know. Would Windows 10 activate based on that new hardware? I don't know. So there's a couple things you're going to have to play with. It's something that I haven't dealt with. We have such a fast manual process, and that's why I want to nail it down with PowerShell. Windows 10 takes 10 minutes to install. It's the tweaks and the customizations, you're right, could take a half hour. And so I know one script could get rid of a half hour of work. Now, you mentioned bloatware. What bloatware on a default Windows install? If you're getting an image that has any kind of bloatware on it, then you're not using the right image, or maybe I misunderstood what you were talking about. So what I would do when you run into bloatware is the latest, greatest of Adware Cleaner will get rid of and recommend a lot of bloatware. So if you haven't looked at the latest Malwarebytes Adware Cleaner, which is free, should definitely check that out. It'll help you remove bloatware. Jonathan is in the chat, and he's clarified what he's asking about the bloatware. Candy Crush, the Mail app, etc. Default programs that Microsoft puts in. I get it. I normally, for clients, don't clean that up, but I understand you wanting to do that. And then, yes, at that point, scripting would be a little tougher. You could do it, but you're right. You want to build a newer image that you can then apply. I understand. But you should still look. You could automate the removal of the bloat of the Windows 10 apps. See, it's funny, the interpretation of bloatware. I have many clients. I don't personally like the Mail app. I have a lot of clients that use it. I refuse to use Candy Crush. I have a lot of clients that like it. You're right, though. Most of my business clients want nothing to do with those. They're using Office 365 and as such. Jonathan, thanks for the email. And I hope some of my recommendations and links will stir some thoughts and hopefully get some things, you know, thinking about for solution. Today was at a client. He has that executive card scan that is now sitting in a drawer because the company Dynamo has abandoned the card scanner working with an Outlook add-in. And they've abandoned it, and they don't support it anymore. What is the alternative? Now, I know some of you are going to recommend, and you can still send them to me, you can recommend an iPhone app that can do this. But it's not going to be smooth, I guess, sending it to directly to Outlook. You're going to have to help me with that process. He has stacks of business cards, and he's not the only one. As I put up, this is just a little baby stack. I have huge stacks of business cards where I don't want to sit and enter them. What card scanner on the market is there one that we can scan and have it directly go to the contacts that we point to in Outlook? And then also add the picture of the front, picture of the back as little JPEGs in the notes. We need a good business card scanner. I have several clients that would love that. Now, other than that executive business card scanner that was around for years, and if it's not available and you can't not support it anymore and doesn't work anymore, with maybe we could take advantage of those scanners, but maybe there's software that you know that can read the scanner and work with Outlook. Hit me up, MikeTechShow@gmail.com. I want to know. I'll even, if there's enough material, I'll dedicate a show to it. But it's that important for some clients, especially this one. It's one of my bigger clients, and he asked me to mention it on tonight's show. So let me know what your recommendations are. That is it for tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed it, and give me feedback. Send me your questions, responses to a lot of the questions I threw out there tonight. The best way to support the Mike Tech Show and to also support Tech Vets, Carrie Holzman and myself, we share an Amazon link. It is in the show notes at MikeNation.net. When you go there and click on that, that'll bring you to Amazon. You now add the items to your shopping cart. When you check out, we will get a small commission, but it adds up. And right now, with the holidays coming, please abuse our link. Use it for your holiday shopping, your Black Friday shopping. Whenever you're going to buy from Amazon, think, hey, let me click on that link and help Mike and Carrie. We really appreciate it and would love to see some tremendous numbers come out of these next couple months. Thank you so much for your support. Also, remember Instant House Call at instanthousecall.com. Download the trial. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show and kick the tires for 15 days and then call and order it. You'll love it. Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro, the definitive software that you need for transferring settings and data, especially as we embark upon Windows 10 upgrades. Going from Windows 7 to Windows 10, this is a required tool. That's it. Talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.